How does the Lord view what's happening in the world today? Perhaps more importantly, what's the Lord going to do about it? I want us to, and you need to bear with me because at 3:30 this morning, I continued to add to the update that I added to last night, that I added to Saturday, because everything just keeps piling up. And I mean, time doesn't even permit to talk about how that now, what's happening in Libya, and how that now they're trying to get all of the Americans out of Libya. Very interesting. I want us to look at what God's Word says about how the Lord sees everything that's taking place in the world today. And I want us to also look at what God's Word says about what the Lord's going to do about what He sees taking place in the world today. If I could be so candid, one of the reasons I'm taking this different approach today is maybe selfish in some ways, but I'm going insane. Wow, Pastor, we need to pray for you. Just hear me out. I mean, I'm going out of my mind. I just about can't handle it anymore. And I want us to kind of get back to the truth amidst so many lies in order to get reacquainted with the semblance of sanity. And if you're anything like me, and I suspect you are, it is becoming increasingly difficult to remain calm and sane in the midst of what I'm going to call such satanic insanity. This is satanic insanity. That's a strong word and phrase, I realize, but I'm hoping you'll hear me out. I want to explain myself here. I find it insane, satanically so, that nobody says boo when 700 Syrians are killed in Syria, but it's an outrage when 700 Arabs are killed in Gaza. It's even more insane that the FAA, in what I believe without question was clearly a pro-Hamas and anti-Israel decision, bans U.S. flights to Israel, the safest airport in the world. I know firsthand. I have the scars to prove it. I've been detained at that safest airport in the world on many an occasion. I suppose the logic is a Malaysian flight is shot down by Russia in Ukraine, so let's ban flights to Israel. Oh, 24 hours, but then they extend it for another 24 hours. Are you kidding me? For those of you who are still desiring to go to Israel with us, please do not let this work. What do you mean? Don't you see what they're doing? They want to kill Israel's economy. This is a victory for Hamas. Let's fire more rockets close in proximity to the airport. Whew. Make no mistake about it. God notices. God knows exactly who, when, what color their clothes were when they did it. How many hairs on their head? Even if they were bald, how many hairs they used to have on their head? Please know that I'm not wishing for any of us to get angry, though it would be understandable, I think, under the banner of a righteous anger. But what I'm really hoping for all of us is that we get the record set straight concerning an America that is increasingly pro-Hamas and anti-Israel. I had a vile and foul individual say to me, I won't use the language, it's inappropriate, that I'm full of, you know what, I'll let you fill in the blank, and I'm anti-American. Okay? That is so demonic. That's so diabolical. Diabolos, devil, in the actual original language. And here's how I get there. I'm anti-America. How about America is anti-Israel? Oh, but we support Israel. Oh, really? Well, then, can I just ask you a question? Why would the United States, that's pro-Hamas and anti-Israel, send $147 million to a Hamas-run Gaza? And, am I getting angry? Maybe. Okay. Why do lawmakers attach any financial support of Israel's Iron Dome to an extremely controversial immigration bill? Hamas, here's $147 million. Oh, Israel needs some money for the Iron Dome defense? Hey, let's attach the immigration bill to it, and then it'll die 1,000 deaths. Never see the light of day. If this weren't bad enough, and you'll forgive me, but why does the mainstream media continue with their damnable reporting of how Israel is indiscriminately killing civilians? Why don't they tell the truth? They're liars. They're liars. They're all lying. The truth is this. These Muslims are protecting their missiles with civilians, whereas the Jews are protecting their civilians with missiles. Wait. Yeah. Right? Did I botch that? I botched that, didn't I? They're protecting missiles with civilians in Gaza, and in Israel they're protecting their civilians with missiles. The exact opposite. There, good save. Let's move on. The truth is that while Arabs are dropping, these are my people, the Arab people. While the Arabs are dropping rockets on the Jews are dropping leaflets on the Arabs, warning them to leave before they drop the bombs. Who does that? Why don't they admit that if the Muslims put down their weapons today, there would be no war tomorrow? But if the Jews put down their weapons today, there would be no Israel tomorrow. Why don't they talk about that? That is the truth of the matter. That is the fact of the matter. Why don't they talk about the materials given to the Arabs to build schools to educate Arab children being used to build tunnels to annihilate Jewish children? Why don't they talk about that? Benjamin Netanyahu was on CNN today with Candy Crowley. I don't like her. I'm not ashamed to say that, and I make no apologies for saying that. She is as anti-Israel as an anti-Christian, by the way, as they come. Let me calm down for just a moment here. And Fox News is starting to really bug me lately too. Netanyahu is on Chris Wallace's Sunday morning program today. And he has the audacity to ask him, aren't you concerned with the number of civilians being killed? Excuse me. What more can we do? How are we supposed to deal with Hamas, who takes these people and forces them against their will to stay in harm's way? Not to mention the ones who say, hey, I want to be a martyr for Allah. And so they find these leaflets in Arabic. Get away. Plenty of time before the bombs drop. Get away. And they stand there on the roofs even on Huckabee yesterday. I had to repent after that one. He said, well, this has been disputed. By who? Who's disputing it? You're a liar. They are standing on the roofs of these buildings in Gaza saying, kill me for Allah, Allahu Akbar! And they go to their death. And then they parade these deaths on CNN, not so much Fox, to their credit. And it's all propaganda. It's all propaganda. So Israel now is being demonized. You know, I think the former Prime Minister of Israel, Golda Meir, said it best this way. We can forgive the Arabs for killing our children. We cannot forgive them for forcing us to kill their children. We will only have peace with the Arabs, listen, when they love their children more than they hate us. I'm of the opinion that it's this satanic hatred for the Jewish people that keeps and steeps them in the lies from the father of lies, the devil himself. And I say that because the devil is the personification of all that is evil. Which, think about this, devil, D-E-V-I-L, devil, evil, backwards, L-I-V-E. This is evil. These are lies from the father of lies. Evil is the opposite of life. Evil and live. They love death. The Jews love life. You know, it's interesting. Evil is now good and good is now evil. Israel is good, but they're called evil. They're demonized. This is Isaiah 5:20. Perhaps you know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. And by the way, especially you young people, this is not like woe to those who, you know, woe. No. Okay? Are we good with that? Woe is a curse. A curse to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Speaking of bitter, here's another question. Why are we sending Secretary of State John Kerry to the Middle East again to continue pursuing a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas? The reason I bring up this crazy question is because not only was Kerry never invited to the region, Kerry isn't even wanted in the region. And if you think I'm the one crazy for even suggesting this, you might want to consider this recent article published by the Daily Caller. It was last Monday, July 21st. The headline says it all, Kerry not wanted in the Middle East. That's pretty clear. That's not very subtle. Let me just share quickly a couple of excerpts. As tensions continue to escalate in the Middle East, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry is heading back to the region to continue pursuing a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas, but he may not be welcome this time around. Former Israeli Ambassador Michael Oren believes that America's presence isn't welcome at all. Oren said that Kerry coming to the region is to, quote, our chagrin. On Fox News Sunday, this is last Sunday, Kerry said that Israel has the right to defend itself against Hamas militants, but Kerry was caught making an aside comment to an aide over the phone during a commercial break, sarcastically calling Israel's Operation Protective Edge a, quote, hell of a pinpoint operation. According to Oren, Kerry's behavior and remarks during his Sunday interview make it clear that Kerry was not invited to the region and rather just forced his way in. Here's what you're not being told, and thank God for Benjamin Netanyahu just today, both with CNN and Fox, And it needs to be shouted from the rooftops. Every ceasefire, Hamas has broken. Even their own. Okay, I feel better now. I just had to get that off my chest. I'm sorry, but I'll spare you the satanic insanity from the other news reports. Most of them attempt to draw this moral equivalence between Israel and Hamas. Sadly, some have suggested that Israel is guilty of war crimes. And what makes this so satanic is that this seems to be gaining some traction. By the way, wouldn't any thinking human being be able to surmise that the persecution of the Jewish people from the beginning of time validates that they are God's chosen people? It started with Genesis 3:15, also known as the Proto-Evangelicum, that the seed would crush the serpent's head. Satan, who's not all-knowing, doesn't know from whom the seed will come. He thought it would be Abel, so he demonically possessed Cain to murder Abel. And he's been trying ever since. Fast forward to Egypt. All of the Hebrew boys cast into the Nile to their certain death to annihilate the Hebrew people. The descendants didn't know it was going to be from Seth. Fast forward to the book of Esther. Fascinating book, by the way. When Haman, demon-possessed Haman, seeks to annihilate all of the Hebrews. Fast forward to the New Testament. Herod has all of the boys, 2 years of age and under, slaughtered and murdered, trying to annihilate this seed that would come to crush the serpent's head. Fast forward to Hitler, the last century. Demon-possessed to annihilate the Jews. Don't you find it interesting? It's the Jewish people. The fact that it's God's chosen people, isn't that, I mean, wouldn't any thinking person be able to come to that conclusion? Here's another question. Any thinking person needs to ask this question. Do you actually think that just because God seems to remain silent while evil seems to prevail, that God will keep silent much longer? You know what I find interesting? And of all places, the first verse of Psalm 83, Asaph seems to plead with God concerning his perceived silence. O God, do not keep silent. Be not quiet, O God. Be not still. See how your enemies are astir, how your foes rear their heads. I would submit that God will not remain silent, and He will not keep quiet, nor will He be still. He does see His enemies rear their heads. Be rest assured that God sees everything, and I believe in my heart, like never before, He's about to do something, and it may be sooner than anyone could ever imagine. Well, Pastor, that's kind of provocative. Well, the fact remains, we have the final word in God's word. The end of the matter. What God will do about it. And I can't wait. Seems that God is already having a word in the matter. It's evidenced by this Jewish Telegraph article published. Also was on Monday, July 21st. I did my best to vet this article. It seems to be authentic. Some are suggesting it's not. They're disputing it, like everything else. But I think it's just more anti-Israel propaganda. But the headline, this is amazing. Their God changes the path of our rockets in midair, said a terrorist. Again, isn't it interesting that all of the thousands, not hundreds, thousands, read my lips, my tongue, thousands of rockets don't hit the Jews. I believe it's authentic because God has performed numerous miracles ever since Israel was reborn as a nation against all odds. On Thursday night, we shared a while back a video from that very series, documentary by that same title, Against All Odds. I encourage you to get your hands on it. It is so fascinating. Here's one example. The Jews, this is in the Six-Day War, were trying to cross this, it's at dark at night, they're trying to cross this area, and they know it's riddled with landmines. So God brings a huge wind, blows all the sand, and uncovers every single landmine so they can move forward. I love it when God does that. The God who does that can also redirect these missiles so they don't hit His people, the Jewish people. Well, might I, in the remainder of our time, just ask that you indulge me? I want to share with you specifically from God's Word what God's final word will be on all this. I tried to condense it to what I'll call the big three. These are the three biggest prophetic events surrounding God's people. And by God's people, I mean those who are Jews and Christians, both of whom are fast becoming the recipients of the world's indignation and persecution in these, the very last days, nay, the very last moments of human history, as we know it, exactly as God's Word said it would be. Just this last week in Iraq, the Christians in the town of Mosul were given the choice of either converting to Islam, paying a tax, or facing an imminent death. By the way, you know where the ancient, this is the modern name of Mosul. You know what the ancient name of that biblical city is? Yeah, I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to look it up yourself. Did you know that this is what Muslims are commanded to do according to the Quran? Specifically chapter 9, verse 29. Can I read it for you? What are you going to say, no? Fight those who believe not in Allah, nor the last day. Interesting. Nor hold that forbidden which hath been forbidden by Allah and His messenger, speaking of Muhammad. Nor acknowledge, this is interesting, nor acknowledge the religion of truth. Oh, you acknowledge that it's the religion of truth. Even if they are of the people of the book. What's the people of the book? The Jews and the Christians. The book is the Bible. Old Testament Jews, New Testament Christians. That's the people of the book. Until they pay jizya with willing submission, which, by the way, that's what Islam means. Submission. Submission. And feel themselves subdued. These Muslims in Iraq are simply obeying the command of the Quran. See this symbol here? It's the Arabic symbol for infidel. You know who the infidel is? Thank you. It's you and me. It's Jews and Christians. And the Quran also commands Muslims to smite ye above their necks, behead the infidels, the non-Muslims, chief of whom are the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians. Here's another symbol. This symbol is the Arabic noon, which is the 14th letter of the Arabic alphabet. It's the equivalent of the English letter N. And it's the symbol for the Nasara, or Nazarenes, denoting the Christian followers of Jesus of Nazareth. My grandmother was born in Nazareth. How cool is that? Is that boasting? Maybe it is. I just think that was cool. My grandmother was born where? Okay, let's move on. Now, this is not a smiley face, by the way. This is a noon symbol that is circled, and it's on a Christian's house there in Mosul, being marked as this is a Christian home. And those in this family will be given the option of converting, paying a tax, or being beheaded. Eerily similar to what Hitler's Nazis did to mark Jewish homes and Jewish businesses during the Holocaust. This is Christians. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's happening there in Iraq. Pictured here are French protesters, to their credit, holding up the Arabic letter Nun in demonstration on behalf of Christians being persecuted by the Islamic State, formerly known as ISIS or ISIL. This picture here, I want you just to take a look at it. I know it's not very clear. The streets are just filled with people protesting. You know where that's at? It's not France. It's Chicago. And it's not pro-Israel. It's pro-Hamas. Right here in the good old USA, tens of thousands marching in support of Hamas against Israel. God have mercy on them. They know not what they do. God forgive them. Show them the truth. Open their eyes to the lies. Back to our symbols. This is the last one. This symbol is Arabic for Christian infidel. You have the noon above the infidel. And this is how they are right now, as we speak, identifying the Christians in Iraq. Now, that's the Christians in Iraq. And we're prone to think, oh my goodness, that's so far away. Doesn't really have anything to do with me. Well, that's the problem with the Christian here in America. For the most part, Christians in America are oblivious and obtuse to the possibility of this ever happening here in the United States. That's where I'm going to start. This is our first of the big three. By virtue of what's in store for this, the once most powerful and blessed nation on earth, who heretofore did bless Israel, but presently is cursing Israel. You know what God's word says will be the final word? You know it well. I hope you do. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. I won't read it in the interest of time. Those who bless Israel, God will bless. Those who curse Israel, God will curse. Then there's Zechariah 12. Again, I won't read it in the interest of time. Also verses 1 through 3. You know what God's word, final word is? On those nations gathered against Israel, forcing Israel to divide Jerusalem, to move the burdensome boundary stones they're intoxicated with, obsessed with, Jerusalem. You know what God's word says will be the final word? They will surely be cut in pieces. Cut in pieces. You try to cut my Jerusalem, I will cut you in pieces. Here's our second one, and I'll move quickly, and we're almost done, and I appreciate your patience. The second one is how God will deal with those who want to wipe Israel off the map so that she's a nation no more. This is back to Psalm 83. Listen to what God's word is, His final word on this matter. How He will deal with them. Asaph prays, deal with them as with Midian, as with Sisera, as with Yabin at the brook of Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became as refuse on the earth. Make their nobles like Arab and like Zeb, yes, all their princes like Zebah and Zalmunah, who said, let us take for ourselves the pastures of God for a possession, which is what they're doing. Oh my God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, as the fire burns the woods, and as the flame sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your tempest, and frighten them with your storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek your name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and dismayed forever. Yes, let them be put to shame and perish, that they may know that you whose name alone is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Interesting last phrase there, Most High. Remember what I told you, please? Allah o Akbar does not mean Allah is great. It means Allah is higher, greater. No, not greater than the Most High over all the earth. Here's our third and last one. God's final word on this so-called two-state solution with Jews and Palestinians living side by side in peace and security, quote-unquote. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Here's what's in store. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. They. What about we? Oh, we escape. How do you get there? Oh, let me spell it for you. R-A-P-T-U-R-E. That's how you spell escape. I'm sorry if that's dorky, but you'll never forget it, right? Because it was so dorky, probably. That's when we escape. Pastor, this is kind of intense. What are you saying here? A curse cut to pieces? They shall not escape the sudden destruction? No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what God's Word is saying. And it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, God.